This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And it is a beautiful day that brings out our rejoicing. And I'm so glad that you're here this morning. I want to say a special word of welcome to those who are visiting with us this morning. We're so glad that you're here, and we hope you have a chance to meet some of the friends sitting around you this morning during the service and afterwards. If you are looking for a place to call your church home, we would love for you to come and join us in Reed Hall, which is just out this doorway, after the service. We'll have some folks there to welcome you and answer any questions you might have about the church. One of our practices every Sunday is to sign in, and we have registration pads at the end of each row. And if you would sign those and let us know you were here, and when they get back to the center aisle, those of you sitting on the center aisle, it would be a great help if you would tear those off and place them at the end of the pew. That helps our ushers at the end of the service. We are in the middle of the season of Lent, heading toward the celebration of Easter, and there are some announcements in your bulletin about the Easter egg hunt, which is an opportunity for us to connect with our community in a unique way. And Pastor Becky is hoping that some of you will donate some prizes for the Easter egg hunt. The details are in the announcements, but we'll be collecting those in a blue bin down by the elevator through March 18th. Some exciting news to announce this morning. Not only did Duke beat Carolina last night, but our Thunder Chickens basketball teams. We have a boys and girls basketball teams called the Thunder Chickens, if you didn't know. They both did really well. Our boys won the season championship, so hooray to the Thunder Chickens. If you give them a high five if you see any of those Thunder Chickens around this morning. Also, just a word about something we're doing a little bit differently in worship this morning. At the end of the sermon, I'm going to invite children to come forward and join me at the table. So if you are a parent with children, we are going to have a children's moment, and it will happen at the end of the sermon, and hopefully it'll be clear when to send your children down forward. As we continue in our season of Lent, we are examining how important it is in the life of our faith to remember and recount the ways that God has been faithful in our lives. So let us ponder some of those experiences of God's faithfulness this morning as we continue in our worship together.
Lord,
thank you. we gather together to remember, to tell, once again, the wonderful stories of our God. We tell these stories over and over so that we do not forget. We tell these stories so that generation after generation can also come to know the love of God we serve. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with God and one another. Therefore, let us confess our sins to God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. An elbow bump or a fist bump is okay during this wonderful flu season. The peace of Christ be with you. Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A reading from the Hebrew scriptures. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand. Fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. When your children ask you in the time to come, what is the meaning of the decrees and the statutes and the ordinances that the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your children, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. The Lord displayed before our great eyes and awesome signs and wonders against Egypt, against Pharaoh and all his household. He brought us out from there in order to bring us in, to give us the land that he promised on an oath to our ancestors. Then the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our lasting good, so as to keep us alive, as is now the cast. as is now the case. If we diligently observe this entire commandment before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us, we will be in the right. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
During this season of Lent, we are considering as a congregation what are those practices that we do together that help us grow in our faith. Why do we do some of the things that we do? Why do we gather together? Why do we pray? Why do we give? Why do we serve? And this morning, we're considering the question, why remember? Why is it important for us as the people of God to remember and to know our history? Now, when I talk about knowing our history, I don't just mean knowing the facts about the Christian past. Last week, I had the privilege of sitting in on a Sunday school class that Stephanie Fulbright was teaching. She's a fabulous teacher and was talking all about the architecture of the cathedrals and the medieval churches and what they teach us about how the people then understood their relationship with God. And it was more than just a history lesson. It stirred up in me some questions about how do we worship God today and how do we live out our faith, not only in our buildings, but beyond our buildings. So it's more than just remembering the facts of our history. And when I talk about remembering, I'm not talking about nostalgia and looking back at the good old days and wishing that things hadn't changed. I'm not talking about those feelings, oh, remember way back when we used to sing the hymns from the little Cokesbury hymnal, although I love those hymns. You remember way back when we had Pastor so-and-so and the church was full, and all of those feelings of nostalgia can keep us stuck in the past. They can feed our faith, but sometimes we spend our time looking back and wishing we were somewhere instead of embracing where we are in the present. So I'm not talking about remembering as nostalgia. I'm talking about remembering in the way that the book of Deuteronomy talks about remembering. Remembering that means recounting and reciting the ways that God has been faithful to God's people from day to day. We find ourselves at the beginning of Deuteronomy at a very important moment in Israel's history, probably the pivotal moment in Israel's history. They are about to cross over into the Promised Land. If you remember the story, the Israelites had been slaves in Egypt for hundreds of years. And God raised up Moses at the beginning of the book of Exodus. And Moses, through the power of God, led the people out of slavery, liberated them from slavery. And God brought them to the border of the Promised Land, and they were about to cross over. They sent in spies into the land, and most of the spies came back and said, no, we can't do this. The people who live in the land are too big, they're too strong, they'll devour us. We can't enter the Promised Land. And God said, you don't trust me. You're not ready to enter the Promised Land, and so now you will wander in the wilderness for a generation. And that's what happened. For 40 years, the Israelites wandered in the wilderness. They got hungry, they got thirsty, they got lost. But God provided them food, God provided them water, God guided them. And finally, here's the moment. And they are about to step into the Promised Land. And the whole book of Deuteronomy is spoken in the voice of Moses, as if it is his farewell speech to them. Because Moses doesn't get to go into the Promised Land with them. But he's giving them his final words, his final instructions. Before you go into the land, here's what you need to know. And what he says in chapter 6 and 7 and 8 is, remember. Remember the Lord your God. When you get into the Promised Land, there are going to be a lot of temptations, a lot of other peoples. People are going to be worshiping a lot of things that are not God. And so remember, hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. Yahweh is our God. The Lord is one. That verse is something our Jewish friends call the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Remember the Lord your God. When you get into the promised land, you're going to start planting crops, and they're going to bear fruit. You're going to build houses, and your families are going to grow. Your herds will multiply. You will become prosperous and wealthy. And when you get all of this wealth and all of this prosperity, he says in chapter 8, do not forget your God. Don't forget who it was that brought you to the promised land. Don't forget that you were slaves in Egypt. So don't treat other people like slaves. Remember that you were slaves. Remember that it was God who is the source of your wealth. Remember, Moses says. And so the Israelite people developed ways to practice remembering. It says in Deuteronomy, take these words and place them on your forehead. Some of our Jewish friends actually have little boxes called phylacteries. You see this among the Hasidic Jews and some Orthodox Jews, that at certain times of prayer they have a box on their forehead that has in it these verses. The Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Keep it right here. Remember it every time you pray that the Lord is your only God. Many of our Jewish friends have it on their doorposts. It says right here in these verses, place them on your doorposts. And they have this thing called a mezuzah that's right at the doorpost with these verses inside of it. So whether they're going inside their homes or coming out of their homes, they touch the mezuzah. The Lord is our God. The Lord is our God. The Lord is one. These daily reminders, daily practices to remember whose they are. And so the question for us is, what are some of our daily practices that help us remember and recount who our God is and whose we are? For some of you, perhaps it's that moment when you wake up and take your first wakeful breath, you say a prayer. Some of you have a daily practice of reading the upper room or praying in the morning. Many of us have a practice of saying a prayer of thanks to God before we eat a meal, knowing and recognizing that God is the source of all that we have. I would invite you during this season of Lent and beyond to find some of those daily practices that help you know the Lord is our God. The Lord is our God. The Lord is one. Of course, the most powerful and communal practice that our Jewish brothers and sisters have given to them from this book of Deuteronomy is the Passover meal. They were called by God to gather every year at the time of the Passover and retell the story of how God delivered them out of slavery in Egypt. And they would recount that story and those years in the wilderness and give thanks to God for all that God had done to liberate them. Now, as Christians today, we have a meal. It was a Passover meal that Jesus shared with his disciples, but he took the bread and did something different and surprising with it to teach them. One of the important things in this passage of Deuteronomy, one of the important things that we learn from the Passover meal, is how important it is to teach the children. So I want to invite the children who are here to come forward and meet me and Pastor Becky here at the table for just a moment. You'll have to come around the long way here. Maybe parents or friends could help them. And as they're coming forward, what it says in this passage in the book of Deuteronomy is, when your children ask you, what does all this mean? Then tell them the story. Help them remember. And there's a moment in the Passover Seder, if you've ever been part of a Seder, where one of the children who's there at that meal stands up and asks, why is this night different from every other night? And so I wanted to invite you children up here this morning because you play an important part in our congregation. You ask really good questions. And I want you to keep asking those questions because it gives us a chance to tell you the story of who Jesus is and why we're here and why we come to church. So when it comes to communion, you might ask the question, this is just a loaf of bread and this is just a cup of juice. What is it that makes this bread and this juice different from any other loaf of bread or cup of juice? So I'm going to pick up a loaf of bread. I know I have to get at it here. I'm going to hand it to Pastor Becky. This is a loaf of bread, and it's like the bread that Jesus gave to his disciples the night before he was arrested, right before he was crucified. And he said to them, "This is my body." And he broke the bread like his body was going to be broken when he died. But he gave it to them and said, "This is me. And when you eat this bread, you're taking my love and my grace into you. And you're forgiven and loved." And then there was a cup that he lifted up. Oh, I haven't brought the cup in yet. So I want you to have your eyes wide open when it comes time for communion, because they're going to bring a cup down. And Pastor Becky's going to lift that cup up. And it's going to be a reminder that Jesus gave his life for you and for me. And you know, we do all this talking. We have all these words before we break the bread and the cup. And that is recounting all that God has done. It's helping us remember the things that God has done for us. So Pastor Becky's going to talk about some of the things that God has done when we get to that part. So I want you to listen really carefully. And then I'm going to talk about what Jesus did on that night with his disciples. So that helps all of us remember our story and what makes us the people of God and the disciples of Jesus. Let's pray together. God, we thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ, and for this simple meal that he shared with his disciples. And every time we eat this meal together in your church, something beautiful and special happens. We remember all that Jesus did and all he gave for us. And we know that he's present with us. Thank you for these children and the good questions that they ask. And help us to keep asking those questions and keep telling the story of all you have done for us. We pray this through the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus. Amen. You all can go back, sit with your parents and friends and grandparents.
As we come to a time of prayer, we lift up the joys and concerns of our congregation as an offering to our loving God. If you have prayer requests that you would like to share, please fill out one of the gray cards located in the pew racks in front of you. And please indicate if you'd like those prayers to be shared or if they need to remain confidential. And you can place those cards in the offering plates as they are passed down the pew in a few moments. This morning, we have several births to celebrate, the first being Roger Ross Prest, who was born February 4th, to Christopher and Jessica London Prest. He is welcomed also by his grandparents, Linda London and Ed Van Voorhees. And also Max Henry Metter was born February 19th to Blake and Emmeline Davies Metter. He is welcomed also by his grandparents, Dina and Reynolds Davies, and great-grandparents Betty and Ed Davies. And then we also send our prayers to be with the family of Sunny Braun and her family, who are mourning the death of her brother, Richard P. Smith, who died February 21st in Whitney Point, New York. Now let us turn to our holy and living God and offer up our prayers in a brief moment of silence. Lord, hear these our prayers. Amen. We who have received gifts too numerous to count now have a chance to give in thanks and joy.
Thank you.
also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You brought all things into being and called them good. From the dust of the earth, you formed us into your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. When rain fell upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, you bore up the ark on the waters, saved Noah and his family, and made covenant with every living creature on earth. When you led your people to Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights, you gave us your commandments and made us your covenant people. When your people forsook your covenant, your prophet Elijah fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and on your holy mountain he heard your still small voice. And so with the people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Seated. Holy are you, O God, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. When you gave him to save us from our sin, your Spirit led him into the wilderness where he fasted 40 days and 40 nights to prepare for his ministry. When he suffered and died on a cross for our sin, you raised him to life, presented him alive to the apostles during 40 days, and exalted him at your right hand. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. Now, when we, your people, prepare the yearly feast of Easter, you lead us to repentance for sin and cleansing of our hearts, that during these 40 days of Lent, we may be gifted and graced to reaffirm the covenant you made with us through Christ. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as together we proclaim the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood.
By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet.
Through your Son, Jesus. who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Together we remember how the body of Christ became our bread of life. And we recount the story of the cup, which becomes for us the blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. It is time for us now to come to the feast. And as we make our way forward this morning, if this is your first time receiving communion in this congregation, we want to let you know that this is an open table, that everyone here has a place at the table. There are no restrictions. You are welcome here. We come forward and receive, the choir receives first, followed by our friends in the balcony, and then those in the transepts, and finally those in the main part of the sanctuary. The ushers will help us with all of that. You'll kneel at the rail as you're able, and if you would, have your hands open. That will allow our servers to know you have yet to receive. And after receiving communion, you're welcome to stay at the altar rails and in prayer as long as you would like. If you have need of gluten-free bread, Nancy will be serving that, and just let her know as you come to the altar rail. If you cannot come forward but would prefer to be served in your pew, Becky and I will be making our way around the sanctuary, and we can come to you where you are. Every month as we gather for communion, we have an opportunity to support one of the missions of our congregation. And our offering this plates are forward this morning, and our offering goes to ODIHM, the ministry in Guatemala. We have a group of 11 from West End who will travel to Guatemala April 14th through 22nd to serve the indigenous Maya people who are there, and our offerings will go to support their ministry. And if you'd like to make a check, you can make it out to West End and put Guatemala in the memo line. We remember our brothers and sisters across the world as we come to this table today to receive God's grace. Let us prepare our hearts to remember all that God has done for us. Thank you. children together and giving thanks for what we have received. Would you stand as you're able? You have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people. Your glory has filled our hearts. Amen. I would invite you to be seated for just another moment as we have.
Church in West Des Moines. So as a member of
whose we are, and all that God has done for us, even in this hour of worship, and go with God's peace, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the love and grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.